When you feel all alone, and it seems that no one cares, remember someone is praying for you. That someone is Jesus. Tony Broom Ministries now presents the following message from John chapter 17, entitled, Jesus Prays for You. John is the only one who records Jesus' high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. In this prayer, Jesus prays for three individuals or groups of individuals. First of all, he prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples, and last of all, he prays for you. Jesus prays for himself. Father, I thank you that you have been with me. I thank you that you have allowed me to finish the work. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now glorify me with your own self, with the glory that you gave me before the world was. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Then he prays not only for himself, but for his disciples. These are the ones you've given me out of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You have given to me them out of the world. I pray that you would not take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil and from the evil one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. And now, Father, I commit them to you. I even sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified. Sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus prays for the disciples. And then he prays for all of us. He prays that we would be one. John chapter 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone. He's not just praying for the disciples, but he's praying for us, for those who would believe on me through their word. All of us have believed on Jesus, directly or indirectly, through the words of the apostles and the disciples. Jesus told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And all of us have heard the gospel. We have therefore believed on Jesus through their word. And he prays that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Jesus wants us to be spiritually tight. If we are spiritually tight, united together as one, no evil can befall us. Even when trials and temptations come, when the waters of life roar against us, and when the winds blow against us, and the floods come and the rains descend, it will not hurt us or harm us, because we're one with Jesus. We're spiritually tight together with each other, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The world will know and believe that God has sent Jesus because of our oneness together in the body of Christ. Jesus desires that his church, his body, would be joined together in one. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. This is spirit baptism, spirit fullness. This glory is seen in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want them to be one. I want them to share this glory. The Spirit dwelling in us and among us will join us together as one like nothing else, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That is, we become more like Jesus. More like Jesus, what I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. Paul's writings in the New Testament. He spent most of his time writing that we would be one. Not about experiences. Experiences are good and they're important. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that we grow up into him in love, that we become more like Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, growing up into him, becoming more like Jesus. There is no more tightness and unity than the Father and the Son. Jesus uses this as an example, that they would be one, just like we are. I and you, you and me, them and me, I and them. that they would be joined together as one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The world may reject the message of Christ, but they cannot deny the truth of God's word when they see the oneness, the unity together, and the love that we have in the body of Christ. He prayed that we would be one. He prayed that we would be with him in verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that is in heaven. He wants us to be with him in heaven. You would think, why in the world would Jesus care if I was in heaven? Because he wants every born-again believer to be with him. Every born-again child of God is to be in heaven. They need to be in heaven. They want to be in heaven. This world is just a passing through place. As the song said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I cannot feel at home in this world anymore. Jesus wants us in heaven. He said when he came into the world, he said, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. The only thing that Jesus ever wanted, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. The only thing he wanted, he said, Father, I will. This is what I want. That they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Jesus wants you in heaven with him one day, and you should do everything you can to make sure that you end up with him in heaven, because that's where he wants you. And he wants you in heaven. And the way that you end up in heaven with him is to be born again and know him as your Savior, make him your Lord. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, before man was ever created, before man and woman fell in the Garden of Eden, in the mind of God, in the heart of God, it was already done. All the plan of salvation, the plan of redemption, salvation and healing, God had already provided everything we'll ever need. The Bible talks about Christ as the Lamb being slain from the foundation of the world. Even though he had to be born of the Virgin Mary, even though he had to live, even though he had to die on the cross and suffer, yet in the heart of God, from the foundation of the world and before the world, in eternity past, in the heart and mind of God, it was already as good as done. You loved me, Jesus said. The Father loved him before the foundation of the world. And he wants us to know that love. He wants us to be with him in heaven where we can behold his glory. He prays for that. He prays that we would be welded in love. Verse 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. We have believed the Bible record about Jesus. When you believe what God's word says about Jesus, then you're believing the testimony of Christ. God has set to his seal that the truth is in Jesus. When we believe the record that God has given us of his Son, this is life, that you have the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's as simple as it can be, and that's the way it is. We have to believe what God said about his Son, and we will behold that glory throughout the endless ages of eternity. While the ages roll, I'll keep on praising him, and my voice will never tire or grow old. Throughout eternity, my song will ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while the ages shall roll. I have declared unto them thy name, the precious name of the Father. That's why Jesus told us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The scripture said, You will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. His name is high, his name is holy, there's none like him. I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it. As long as I'm alive, I will declare them your name. And the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. He wants that love to be in us. And now when you're born again, when God sends forth his Spirit into your hearts, the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, Galatians chapter 4, crying, Abba, Father. And Romans chapter 5 says that hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. He prays that we would be welded together in love. And when we're welded together in love, we love him, he loves us, we love each other in the body of Christ. Nothing can separate you and tear you apart. No false doctrine, no man-made religion, no wolf, no sheep in wolf's clothing, wolf in sheep's clothing, whatever it is. Nothing can tear you apart because you're welded together in love, that we may win the already won war. He prays that we may win the already won war. The war has already been won. We just have to win the battles. We have to fight the battles. Jesus has already won the war. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, one who died and rose again from the dead. Our great high priest has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why we can hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows what you're feeling. He knows how you're hurting. He knows what you're going through. And that's why he prays for you every day, because he knows how it is to be human. He knows how it is to hurt. He knows how it is to suffer. He knows how it is to be mistreated and ridiculed and ill-treated. He knows how it is for people to be against you. He knows how it is to be misunderstood. And so he prays for you every day. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why can we come boldly? Because we have a heavenly high priest. We don't have an earthly high priest who is not suffered to continue by reason of death. But we have a heavenly high priest who lives forever. Let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He gives us his mercy. He provides grace that we can find it in time of need. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost all those who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus ever lives. He continually lives to intercede for us at the Father's right hand. That's what a great high priest does. And in chapter 10, verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. It doesn't matter who the deacons are. It doesn't matter who the elders are. It doesn't matter who is trying to run the church. It doesn't matter who the bishop is. The truth is, we have a great high priest who is over the house of God. Jesus, our high priest, he has an unchanging, ever-enduring priesthood, and he is continually our high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, not with a hard heart or wicked heart or sinful heart, but with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The blood of Jesus Christ sprinkles our heart from an evil conscience. We don't live in an evil, defiled conscience anymore. We have been sprinkled from an evil conscience by the powerful blood of the Lamb. And we have our bodies washed with pure water. What kind of water? Not the water you take a shower with, but the pure water of the Word of God. Jesus told those Jews in John chapter 2, he said, take those water pots and fill them up with water. And he took it there to the governor, they did, and he tasted the water that was turned into wine. Pure wine wouldn't make you drunk if you drunk a whole gallon of it, because it's the pure wine. And that's what Jesus does, everything pure and right. And what does he want to do with us? He does not want us to have just a little bit of water in the bottom of our barrel. He wants us to be full, filled up with pure water, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. We don't have to waver. We don't have to vacillate back and forth. One day we feel saved. Next day we think we might be lost. Next day we're not sure what we are and who we are. We don't have to be that way. We can hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because we know that the one who promised is faithful. God is faithful. Let us consider one another, not talk about each other, not post bad things about each other on social media, not run each other down, but let us provoke one another to love and to good works, to consider one another, to lift each other up, If we're going to provoke each other, let us not provoke each other to anger and malice, but let us provoke each other to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, there are times when you can't go to church. There's virus, there's sickness, there's pandemic. There are things that you cannot avoid and you cannot help. But do not let that be your manner of practice just because you're mad with a preacher, you're mad with a church, you're mad with something that didn't go the way you wanted to. That's not the way of a born-again person. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some have that way of living, but that's not the way that God wants us to be. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to exhort. We're to buoy each other on. We're to help each other out as best we can, to encourage each other, because we're closer home today than we were yesterday. Every day is one day closer home. Jesus prays for you when you feel like you're all alone, and you feel like you're misunderstood, and you feel like your friends have let you down. Remember, there's one who prays for you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friend, said Jesus, if you do whatsoever I tell you. Jesus prays for you today. Our Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the opportunity present this message to your people from John chapter 17. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be encouraged, to be strengthened in the spirit of our mind, to walk in your ways, to know, Lord, that you are there at the right hand of the Father, praying for us every day and every night. And I pray that we would be together with you in heaven. That's what you want, and that's what you ask the Father for. And I pray that we would do everything we can to make sure that we make it there, and to make sure that we make it help others to do the same. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus Prays for You has been a message from John chapter 17, is a production of Tony Broom Ministries.